Hello and welcome to the M is for Mama podcast. I'm your host, Abby Halberstadt, happy wife, mama to 10, Bible-believing Christian. And on today's show, I'm going to tackle an FAQ I have been asked so many times recently. But before we jump into that, I want to highlight our podcast sponsor, Voteberg Music Academy. If you guys heard the Voteberg's Elisha and Katie on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, you heard their heart for family and their heart for teaching and passing along what has been taught to them, namely their music expertise. Voteberg Music Academy is not your average music lessons. Even though a lot of private lessons can be expensive, it can be hard to motivate your kids to practice. That's not the case with Voteberg Music Academy. You can use the code M is for Mama, M-I-S-F-O-R-M-A-M-A, I'll put it in the show notes, for 50% off your first month of lessons with Voteberg Music Academy. You can share lessons between siblings. You can pick between guitar, fiddle, mandolin, piano, like ukulele. So there's a lot of options. You can fast forward and rewind and redo lessons, have 24-hour access to your instructor, prepare for a student showcase. So there's a community aspect to it. It's just a lot of fun and it's easy to motivate kids to practice for lessons that are fun. So if you want to use the code M is for Mama for 50% off your first month, again, sharing between siblings and being able to do this all at your own pace, on your own schedule for a very affordable price, you can go to voteburgmusicacademy.com to sign up. All right, so let's talk about this FAQ that I've gotten. I have a husband who travels a fair bit and has for our entire marriage. In fact, I can remember one of my biggest pity parties about his traveling being while I was a very, very new mama, as in I still had a baby in utero. And I was probably 25 weeks pregnant and my husband was traveling to, wait for it, Ireland, of all places. And you know, as I think about it now, I don't know if I was quite that far along, but I was a little ways along. And I don't remember what the reasoning was behind my not going with him. It was probably either something to do with the pregnancy, or I was teaching Spanish at the time and I wasn't off of work, or we didn't have the funds to pay for the ticket. Some combination of things kept me from being able to go. And I was just really missing him. It was hormonal, you know, just going through my first round of pregnancy. So this was with our first baby, and feeling abandoned. And like I said, woe is me. And like, I wanted to be in this beautiful place with him. He was sending me pictures and I don't remember feeling strongly like jealous or resentful. I was just sad. And so that was kind of not my first taste of his traveling, because we had already been married for a little while and he had traveled quite a bit already. And I always joke that we lived together before we got married, not in the sense in which that phrase usually means. He actually did live in the third story dormer of my parents' house. And my parents have a really unusual house because it's an old home, fairly small, single level. And then over the course of a very long protracted period, we did a renovation on it ourselves and added a second floor as well as a third story dormer. So my brother and I both lived in the second floor of my parents' house as young adults, and it had its own laundry, its own kitchen. So we were basically kind of living in an apartment, renting from them. And then there was a third story dormer that my husband actually lived in for a couple of months before we got married. Because his house sold quickly. And I always joke that we got to get a lot of kind of the, where do you put your toothbrush, and, you know, kind of the awkward moments of figuring out where things go by sharing a bathroom and things like that, even though we weren't married and weren't intimate and weren't living together in that sense at all. Before we actually got married, because we had to do, you know, the scoot over and I'll take a turn, because we had this little bathroom upstairs. That was the only bathroom upstairs. Actually, I think there are two now that I think about it. But anyway, we went through that and he was traveling for that period as well. So I knew what it was like already to spend, you know, a week, possibly 2 weeks at a time without him. But that first time when he was gone, when I was pregnant, so my first time with his being gone, that I was a mom, even without a baby to hold in my arms, I just remember thinking like, this is such a bummer. You know, I'd rather that he be here. And I knew that this was going to be my reality to some extent. So my husband is a software developer and he writes software for 911 dispatch. And so he travels a fair bit across the United States, and then sometimes to cool places like Ireland or Hawaii or the Marshall Islands. Where else has he traveled? To Canada. Anyway, so he gets around. And I remember in the midst of my pity party thinking, I'm going to have to get a grip because this is going to keep happening throughout our marriage and I can't just be sad every time he leaves. I mean, being sad, it's not like I'm going to rejoice that my husband's leaving. Being sad is fine, but being in a state of not coping well was not something that I wanted for myself. And sure enough, he has traveled a decent amount, sometimes between 15 to 20 times a year, sometimes more like 10 to 12, but steadily, especially in certain kind of peak times at the end of the year, everybody wants to spend their budgets. So they want him to travel between November and December 31st, which is already a super busy time of year. And then in the spring, they'll have their new budgets for the year and they'll want him to travel quite a bit. So our springs are always really busy with that as well. So the FAQ that I've been asked is basically, how do you handle holding the fort while your husband's gone? How do you handle not resenting him for his freedom to travel, or even if it's, if you don't have a husband that travels, to be away at work and have that time where he is not interrupted by children, he can focus on his work, he has adult interactions. How do you essentially manage the home well and focus on your lane of being a keeper of the home, being a homemaker, being someone that is devoted and organized and self-disciplined in the area of helping everything to run smoothly in your household without kind of those expectations that he do the same? And then especially if there are periods where he's actually literally not present, he's not home in the evenings, he's not home in the mornings, he's not home at night, kind of how do you manage all of that? And I know that lots of people have different combinations of this scenario in their home. So some of you may have husbands that travel short term like mine does. The longest he's ever been gone is 2 weeks. Some of you have husbands who are deployed for 9 months at a time. And that just boggles my mind. I know that were that my reality, I would find ways to cope and to adjust. But since that isn't, that just, man, seems really, really hard. And then people who have husbands that are home at, you know, 5:30 every single day on the dot and have a very regular schedule, think about me, the same thing. Like, man, if my husband traveled regularly or was gone for a week at a time, I wouldn't cope very well. So you have some people who have shift work and you have some people who have to change jobs often or have to travel with the military. I mean, there's pretty much every permutation under the sun that requires us as mamas, as wives, to be flexible. And so that would be my first piece of advice. Regardless of whether your setup is this perfect 9 to 5, kind of, you know when he's going to be there exactly, when he's going to be home, you're still going to have systems in place to run your home well. And you might not need to be as flexible as someone who has a husband who travels or who has gone a lot. But that flexibility to say, okay, I have the rhythms, and I have a podcast on rhythms if that helps you. If you don't know what your rhythms should look like, well, I'm not going to tell you what they should look like in your home, but I'm going to have some suggestions for how to figure out what they should look like so that you know which systems you should put in place as opposed to trying to copy somebody else's. So you might check out that podcast. I'll put it in the show notes. But also, once you have those systems in place, assuming that you do, you're going to have to be somewhat flexible, especially with a husband that has a somewhat inconsistent schedule, to say my priorities need to take a back seat to honoring and respecting my husband and prioritizing our marriage. Because I will say this, as someone whose husband has traveled quite a bit, once I got past that initial pity party of woe is me, I don't want to be by myself, sad that he's gone, want him home, wish I were with him, and thought, this isn't going to work well, knowing that this is the life that I chose, to be married to someone who has this responsibility as part of his job, I can tend to go too much the other direction and think in terms of, okay, I have this system down for when he leaves, and then they re-enter your life and you have to readjust. And if our systems take priority over our relationships, we know we've got a problem. So flexibility, being willing to pivot, being willing to compensate, being willing to say, you know, in this season, this is what's required of me, whether it is taking on more of the household chores than we had before, whether it's recognizing we're not going to get a break from kids for 5 days because they're gone for 5 days, and kind of mentally girding our loins for that prospect, whether it is setting up some help, you know, hiring someone to come in or doing babysitter swaps with neighbors or seeing if our mom can come stay with us if it's something that we're really not used to and we need that extra help, kind of planning ahead, that ability to flex and change and pivot, man, is so key when you have a husband that doesn't have a completely reliable schedule. Now, I will talk to you a little bit about some of the systems that I have in place for when Sean travels, and they're different now than they were when I only had small children. But I'll address the only small children version first. When I only had small children, I had a mental shift I would intentionally and actively do to say that I know this week is going to be particularly challenging because I'm not going to get a break from caring for children. I'm not going to have much time to myself. I'm going to have to be especially diligent in consistency and follow through, but I'm also going to give myself some grace. So there was kind of a mental pep talk of you're on this week and you're going to stay on, and that's okay. This is just a week. We can do this. By the Lord's strength, we can do this. But also the grace that I gave myself was on Tuesday nights, the kids and I would go to Chick-fil-A and we would look forward to that. So it wasn't like we were looking forward to daddy being gone, but since daddy was gone, we knew we had a treat to look forward to and we didn't eat out very much. And so that Chick-fil-A on Tuesday nights, I would round all the kids up and we would go and get our food and we would hang out and play in the little play area. And then we might go to the park afterwards and, would come home and do our bedtime routine and roll into bed. And I just looked forward to that very simple break from cooking, from everybody being at home and maybe going a little bit stir crazy. And it was just a really simple way to give us all kind of a touch point of fun and ease in our week, in a week that was particularly hard. I also tended to think of things in those terms as far as giving myself some grace and things to look forward to in general that week. So I didn't necessarily cook as heavy of meals. We would do really light finger foods or sandwiches. And someone out there is like, why? Because only your husband deserves good nutrition? Or, you know, did you slack because he's the only one that deserves the effort? No, not at all. We try to eat nutritious, good, balanced meals as a general rule in our house. But there's just an element of fun to bringing out, you know, a big plate or platter full of cheese and grapes and rolled up turkey meat. And I think I don't think that way for dinner otherwise, if my husband isn't home. And so just kind of adding those elements of playfulness or something out of the ordinary always made my brain say, this week is a little different in a hard way, but it's also a little different in a fun way. I would try to make efforts to do things out of the ordinary because my time wasn't quote unquote being taken up by my husband in the evenings. So I would try to do outings to the park or, take the kids and go to, we have a place called the Discover Science Place. We might do that on a week that he was gone. For some reason, there was a part of my brain freed up that since Sean isn't, my husband isn't demanding, but since Sean isn't home, I can. And so I would kind of save some of these activities knowing when he was gone that we could have a little more fun that week. Again, that makes it sound like we can't have fun when my husband's home. That's not really what I mean. That was a way that I could plan ahead and be prepared to not just make it, but thrive that week, but actually have something to look forward to so that I didn't resent when he was gone. Now, I will say that as so often happens, I've heard from so many mamas, and I don't know if it's just in our heads or if it's like some sort of Newton's law or what it is, but my kids generally stay quite healthy. And I can't tell you how many times we would get stomach bugs on the week that Sean left. No lie. Like he'd be gone, we'd be fine. And then five kids would be puking within 24 hours. And I remember about the third time that happened, I thought, this is for the birds. Like, come on, this is not fun at all. I'm not enjoying this. We need to figure something out. And so I put some feelers out on social media, and all of these people told me that I should be having my kids take activated charcoal and drink straight 100% purple grape juice, which is supposed to kind of interact with acid in your stomach to kill the stomach bug. And the activated charcoal soaks up some of the kind of the bad bacteria in your stomach and helps slow down the whole puking process. I'll link the blog post that I wrote about that in the show notes if that's helpful to you. But I also, it helped me to be mindful about giving my kids their vitamins, about having apple cider vinegar on hand, about having grape juice on hand, about having, you know, just kind of my garlic or whatever home remedies that I felt like usually knock things out pretty quickly. So I didn't feel like I was having to make big choices about how we deal with this sickness or this earache or this sore throat when I was already a little overwhelmed by being a solo parent for a week. So those are my suggestions to you, not only to be able to go with flow to some extent, but also to prepare ahead of time for things like potential sickness, because it feels like it always hits, but also to build in fun to your schedule so that you're not just resenting that your husband seems to be getting a free pass. Now, if we were actually to think about it, and I do travel for work because I do some speaking now, or I go to a homeschool conference and talk there or do book signings or whatever. And while it's fun, it's also exhausting. Traveling is exhausting. Even if you're interacting with full-fledged adults instead of just tiny humans all day, it still is, it's a big commitment. And so I know that while our perception sometimes as mamas who are in the thick of putting all the babies to bed and wiping all of the bottoms and making all of the meals and breaking up all of the fights, it can feel like, you know, good grief, somebody is getting the much, much harder end of the stick here. To recognize that my husband's not traveling for pleasure. He's not traveling because this is his favorite thing to do. He would rather be home as well and often says so. And, you know, when he has to leave, it's like, oh, okay, I'll be back soon. As the kids have grown and as we've had more of him, he's actually traveled less to some extent and really been very intentional about grouping his travel in a way that's less stressful if he can. Ironically enough, both times we moved into this house, the first time after we built it and had to move in when it wasn't finished because our first DIY household very quickly. And so we had to scramble to move in on time and everything was a wreck and there was red dirt everywhere and the floors were concrete and, you know, there was hardly any furniture. And Sean had to travel the week that we moved in. And I remember being like, are you kidding me? But it wasn't his choice. It was already set. And that's just happened to be how it coincided. And then when we moved back in and it wasn't nearly as chaotic, but it was a little bit chaotic. So when we moved back in after the flood, back in the middle of February, same thing. He literally flew out the day that we finished moving the last box in. And it was just kind of mayhem as far as nothing in its place and dirt and dust everywhere and all these things to clean up. And he actually had to travel that week too. So there are definitely times when his travel doesn't come at a convenient time for me and for our family. But having that mindset of he's not doing this for fun. He's not trying to abandon me. This is not some sort of him versus me contest, but instead it's an opportunity to serve my family well, to be creative, to be intentional, to be all in. Because you have to be when you're solo parenting. That all in is the only option. Otherwise, it won't get done. And so I've had to grow in that grace. I've had to grow in that discipline. I've had to grow in that maturity from that girl who was pregnant and weepy and sad that her husband was gone to someone who doesn't love having her husband gone, but doesn't dread it. It isn't turning my world upside down because we have our systems, we have our routines, we have our rhythms, and I'll talk more in another episode. I'm going to wrap this one up now just to do a little short bite of this topic for you, but I think I'm going to continue it in another episode next week where I talk about the changes that I've made as my kids have gotten older. And my husband's been gone some for travel or for other work situations or for working on the house when we've had to do renovations or while we've been building houses, because I think that that could be a good way of recognizing how we grow and also how we change the way that we do things as we have older kids, not because they're doing things for us, but because we get to interact and do things with them. So with that in mind, part two will be coming next week. And I just want to encourage you that the Lord has equipped you to solo parent when that's necessary. He has equipped you to mother well. He has equipped you to manage your home well. And the more that we own that fact that the Lord is the one that equips us, the more we can learn the practical ways that help us to step forward confidently into that role. So I encourage you to keep on learning and keep on growing and keep on investing, because your home is a worthy, worthy place to spend your energy and your talents. If you enjoy the MS for Mama podcast, I would be so honored if you would subscribe and follow along, maybe share with friends or even leave a review. And if you want more content on motherhood and biblical responses to cultural issues, be sure to follow along on Instagram at m.is.4.mama.